Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 1, the whole chapter. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from each other." God made the dome and separated the waters under the dome from the waters above the dome. And it happened in that way. God named the dome sky. There was evening and there was morning, the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the sky come together into one place so that the dry land can appear." And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth, and God named the gathered waters seas. God saw how good it was. God said, "Let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds and fruit trees, bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind throughout the earth." And that's what happened. The earth produced plant life, plants yielding seeds, each according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. There was evening and there was morning, the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will mark events, sacred seasons, days and years. There will be lights in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth." And that's what happened. God made the stars and two great lights, the larger light to rule over the day and the smaller light to rule over the night. God put them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, "Let the waters swarm with living things, and let birds fly above the earth, up in the dome of the sky." God created great sea animals and all the tiny living things that swarm in the waters, each according to its kind, and all the winged birds, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. Then God blessed them. "Be fertile and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything God had made. It was supremely good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
If the Bible isn't a science book, instruction manual, or position paper, then what is it? Join La Jolla United Methodist Church on a journey of rediscovery as we explore together the magic of the Bible. Using modern scholarship and analysis, let's explore familiar stories anew and fall in love with Scripture all over again.
Once upon a time, there lived a girl with a magic book. Like many other books, this one told tales of kings and queens, farmers and warriors, giants and sea monsters, and dangerous voyages. But unlike any other, it cast a spell over all who read it. So they were pulled into the story, cast as characters in an epic full of danger and surprise. From the book, the girl learned how to be brave like a shepherd boy, David, clever like the poor peasant, Ruth, and charming like the beautiful Queen Esther. She learned that with enough faith, you could topple a giant with a slingshot, turn water into wine, and survive 3 days in the belly of a fish. You could even wrestle an angel. When the girl met a teacher named Jesus in the story, she promised to love and follow him forever. Jesus taught her to care for the poor, be kind to the lonely, forgive the bullies, and listen to her mother. Then one day the story began to unravel. The girl was older now, with a mature and curious mind. She noticed some things that she hadn't before. And perhaps the girl reasoned the story wasn't true after all. Perhaps she feared her book wasn't magic. With each question, the voice of God grew quieter and the voices of others grew louder. These were dangerous questions, they said. Forbidden questions, especially for a girl. It was as if the roots of her beloved familiar trees had risen up to trip her on her path. There was no map for a world suddenly rearranged, no incantation to light the world ahead. She was lost. And yet the spell remained unbroken. As a child, I swam in the stories of Scripture as a fish swims in the sea. The evangelical subculture of the 80s and 90s produced no shortage of Bible-themed books and videos. So along with the cast of Sesame Street and Disney Princesses, the figures of Moses, Miriam, Abraham, and Isaac marched through my imagination. These characters occupied a similar space in my brain as Abraham Lincoln, Bear Bryant, and the dead relatives whose antics were conjured up at family gatherings from time to time. They were mythic yet real, true yet more than true. I'd memorized large portions of Psalms, Proverbs, and Romans before entering high school, where I served as president of the Bible Club and a leader in my church youth group. The Bible of my childhood functioned primarily as a storybook. Then the Bible of my adolescence functioned as a handbook, useful because it told me what to do. And if the Bible of my young adulthood functioned as a handbook, the Bible of my older adulthood functioned as an answer book or a position paper. Useful because it was right. The more I learned about Scripture, they said, the more confident I would grow in my faith and the better I would be at answering the world's questions. But their assurances, however sincerely intended, proved empty when, as a young adult, I started questioning for myself. Portions I'd been told were clearly biblical grew muddier in the midst of lived experience. And the more time I spent seeking clarity from Scripture, the more problems I uncovered. The Bible of my 20s served only as a stumbling block, a massive obstacle between me and the God I thought I knew. My parents responded to my questions with compassion, but the evangelical community around me treated them like a wildfire in need of containment. Then, when a pastor friend asked me what my personal sins might have triggered questions, I knew that my journey through these doubts would be a lonely one. I would leave my faith a dozen times in the years following, only to return a dozen more. I discovered the historical critical method of biblical interpretation. Armed with a library card and a blog, I became something of a Bible bully. While the scholarship I'd encountered was sound, I used it to render the Bible into little more than curiosity, an interesting religious artifact to study for sport. Beneath the incessant hum of objections, corrections, and clarifications lay a terrible silence, wherein the Bible still fascinated me, but no longer spoke to me. At least not with the voice of God. The Bible remained a stumbling block, but a fixture now, cold and mute. Scholar Peter Enns has encouraged me to approach Scripture with a new set of questions. Questions like, what if the Bible is just fine the way it is? Not the well-behaved, everything is in order version we create. That would have been bad. But the messy, troubling, weird, and ancient Bible that we actually have. These questions, they loosened my grip on the text and gave me permission to love the Bible for what it is, not what I want it to be. And here's the surprising thing about that. When you stop trying to force the Bible to be something it's not, static, certain, absolute, then you're free to revel in what it is, living, breathing, confounding, surprising, and yes, perhaps even magic. The ancient rabbis likened Scripture to a palace, alive and bustling, full of grand halls, banquet rooms, secret passages, and locked doors. The adventure, wrote Rabbi Burton Fizoski, lies in learning the secrets of the palace, unlocking all the doors, and perhaps catching a glimpse of the king in all his splendor. In those first formative years of my life, before I knew or cared about culture wars or genre categories or biblical interpretation, this is what Scripture taught me. That a boat full of animals can survive a catastrophic flood. That seas can be parted and lions tamed. That girls can be prophets and warriors and queens. That a kid's lunch of fish and bread can be multiplied to feed 5,000 people. At times I wonder if I understood my sacred text better then than I do now or ever will again. I just read those words as if they were my own, because they very well could have been. What I just read were portions of the introduction to the book Inspired, the book we are using as a companion in this worship series. It was written by Rachel Held Evans, a woman who, like me, was raised in the South in the 80s and 90s, a woman who, like me, was raised in an evangelical Christian culture, and who, like me, absolutely loved the Bible as a kid, I could really relate to what she said about the characters of the Bible living in the same place in her mind as Sesame Street. And who, like me, went on to be a Christian leader in her youth group and at school clubs. And then also who, like me, began to ask hard questions after lived experience taught us both that easy answers were not quite enough to stay in love with God. And who, like me, was ostracized, left alone with her questions. Who, like me, walked away from her magical Bible of her childhood and, like me, grieved the loss as one grieves over a dear loved one who has died. And then we both discovered resurrection. And like me, we both returned to the Bible, not with a childlike whimsical innocence, but with the sturdy foundation of faith that only a child can have. A faith that is based on scripture, shaped by tradition, informed by experience, and confirmed by reason. I read parts of this introduction because, just like Rachel Held Evans, this is my origin story. When I first read this introduction, I was sitting in my office just a few feet from here. And by page 3, I was in tears. I had never heard my story explained, my relationship with the Bible and my story explained the way she did. By the end of the introduction, I had to put the book down and I had to feel all of my feelings, which I don't like to do. I remembered my journey with the Bible, mirrored in those words. I remembered my younger self just enamored by the fantastic stories of the Bible, like the first creation story that we read today. Even today, when Genesis 1 is read, I can visualize God in the form of the Spirit forming the shape of the planet, breathing life into every plant and animal. I see little buds on flowers start to bloom for the very first time. I see leaves of grass coming up from the ground for the very first time. I see the beautiful sunset on the very first day of what we know as life. And it's beautiful. And I never, never want to lose that wonder again. And I pray for a time when the church, big C church, where no child ever loses her wonder of the Bible, that we all find a way to make questions and doubt a natural part of our learning, a natural part of our faith formation. A time when we don't shame others for their level of biblical knowledge or for their questions, where we accept the Bible as it is and therefore accept everyone just as they are. I pray that every child's origin story will be, God loves me just as I am. God loves me to pieces. God loves me no matter what. And that is what we strive for at VBS. Next week, we will teach the children age-appropriate lessons of Joseph, the story of Joseph. And I hope that through that story, kids will learn that God loves them to pieces, just like Joseph's father adorned him with a coat of many pieces of color. That God is with them everywhere they go, just as God was with Joseph in his bondage in jail and when he was freed. I want them to know God is in control when their lives feel chaotic or when they're trying to learn long division, because that's when I needed God. I want them to know that God is strong when they feel weak. And I hope that they learn God is surprising. Just as surprising as Joseph's brothers showing up after so many years to bow down to Joseph and eventually reunite with him. The church today is writing the origin stories for our children. Will they be filled with wonder, with slaying giants, with walking on water? Will they know and feel the love of God and wear it like a beautiful coat? Will they dream in color and see visions that they're not afraid to share? Will they know how to forgive, how to share, how to stay in love with God? I believe so. I believe so with God's help and with our example. At the end of her introduction, Rachel Held Evans says this: inspiration on both the giving and receiving end takes practice and patience. It means showing up even when you don't feel like it, even when it seems as if no one else is there. It means waiting for wind to stir. God is still breathing. The Bible is both inspired and inspiring. Our job is to ready the sails and gather the embers to discuss and debate, and like the biblical character Jacob, wrestle with the mystery until God gives us a blessing. If you're curious, you will never leave the texts without learning something new. If you're persistent, you just might leave inspired. Amen. Now, I told you that we are doing VBS, right? So we're still doing it, all right? Our response today, it's going to look a little silly at first, but you need to trust me. All right. Now, remember those flowers? In our response today, I encourage you to do this. This is one of our props that we're going to have in the chapel. We're going to begin and end VBS every day in the chapel. At the end of every day, we're going to talk about what we are going to call God sightings. When have you seen God at work today? Either at VBS or in your family life, when have you seen God at work? And when they call something out, we're going to write it down on these little flowers and put them on the cactus. So that at the end of the week, we're going to go back through on Friday and name all of our God sightings. So that's where you come in, because we're all doing VBS together. So on top of during communion, for you to bring your pieces up here, I have tape now. I want you to take these flowers home throughout the week when you notice a God sighting, something beautiful, maybe someone helping someone else, maybe a little piece of understanding. I want you to write it down. Bring it back next Sunday, and we'll put them right here along with the kids, and we'll look at all of our God sightings together during the children's moment. Thank you.